I've got some messages, Brother Mike, that I think I can be more successful than what I'm going to say tonight. Are you with me? Stuff you've got memorized and you already know it. No. But the Lord has dealt with me so strongly today about something that I'm not quite familiar with. And I'm learning as I go. Now, you have to mind the Holy Ghost to do stuff like that. And I'm dependent on Him tonight. 100%. To let this come out and receive you to receive it like it needs to be received. Now, I'm going to give you a little time to find this. But I need you to turn to the book of Zephaniah. Now, that's wedged in there somewhere between Matthew and Revelation. No, I'm kidding. In the Old Testament. Zephaniah. And I want you to find that scripture. It's important that you see it. So that's why I want to take a little time. And if you don't have a Bible, lean over to your neighbor. I want to show you something that the King James does say that I was unfamiliar with. Now, you might be familiar with it, but I was unfamiliar with it. And I'm still trying to figure it out as we go. So you pray that the Lord will use me to save the right one. I've got a message on trust that I want to preach tonight so bad. The Lord gave me an acrostic. An acrostic. I didn't find it on the internet. Oprah didn't give it to me. I found it in my heart. And the Spirit of God gave me an acrostic, and I never used acrostics. So the word trust, T-R-U-S-T, gave me an acrostic. And boy, I want to preach that so bad tonight. I've got it in my other Bible out in the car, and the Lord just put a damper on that. Just closed it out of my heart. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just closed it out of my heart and said, no, this needs to be said tonight. You mind me. So that's what I'm doing. Now, this might be unsuccessful as far as you've been able to take notes and write it down so you can preach it Sunday. It might not work. But I'm going to do what the Lord says. And I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go home, go to bed, and I'm going to sleep well knowing that I've done what He said. Zephaniah chapter number 1 and verse number 12. This is only one of two times that you'll ever see that this is recorded. Zephaniah chapter number 1 and verse number 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles. He's lit candles now. And he's searching the hearts of Jerusalem. He's not just searching anybody because he said, I'm going to punish the men. He's searching the men's hearts. That are, watch this statement, settled on their leaves. Now, when I saw that, I didn't know what it meant. Now, we've got smart men here tonight. You probably already know. But I saw that settled on their leaves. The Lord said, I'm going to light some candles. And I'm going to search the heart of the men. You know what that is? Leadership. I'm going to search the leadership. And I'm going to see who has settled on their leaves. And he said that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their good shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Now stay with me. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. You're going backwards. To the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to show you the second time that it's recorded. And then I'm going to preach this message to you. Jeremiah chapter number 48. Going backwards. Jeremiah chapter number 48. Let me show you where it's recorded again. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the only two times it is recorded. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse number 11. He's talking about Moab. And here's what he said about Moab. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. He hath settled on his leaves and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remaineth in him and his scent is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send him unto him wanderers, that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. You may be seated.
The statement's been made twice, settled on their leaves. Now, if you're uneducated like myself, you have to find out what that means. I didn't know right off the bat. Matter of fact, I studied Bible for a while, and I don't think I've ever run across it enough that I was interested in it. I want to preach tonight on this thought, and I'm going to explain it to you. Don't settle on your leaves. Don't settle on your leaves. They said in the book of Malachi, where is the God of judgment? Or in other words, they were saying God doesn't care. We can live any way we want to live because God doesn't care. If God cared, you hear this a lot, if God cared, why such misery? If God cared, why such bloodshed? If God cared, why do we have to go through death and devastation? If God cared, then I'll be honest with you, I've gotten to this point myself, and not to an extent that I have roamed the halls of the hospital on any evening wondering where it was at. Does God care? Does He know I'm here? And I felt myself backing up from Him because He wasn't doing what I felt like He ought to do. And I got to a point in my life where it wasn't about God changing my circumstances. My prayer changed. I asked God to change me to fit my circumstances. And as we began to do that, it seems like the load was lifted. God was trying to create something in me. But if you're not careful, when you go through trials and you go through circumstances, especially pastoring a church and people with different problems and differences and opinions, if you're not careful, you'll start backing up from the things of God. And they're saying, where's your God at? If you're not careful, you'll fall into that category. If it doesn't matter to anybody else, it probably shouldn't matter to me. Why should I care? Because God don't even care. And even as a Christian, you can fade into that. God uses a rather striking illustration here about settling on their leaves. He's used the human heart to let you know what can happen when a human heart backs away from God. They can settle on their leaves. You read the book of Jeremiah, and he's talking to Moab. And he said, Moab hath been at ease from their youth, and he hath settled on his leaves, and hath not emptied from vessel to vessel. Therefore his face remained in him, and his scent never changed. What does it mean, preacher, to settle on the leaves? It's the idea in Bible times of vinegar. When vinegar was left alone, vinegar would develop a scum on top of it. If wine was left alone, wine would develop a scum on top of it. It's kind of our idea of letting milk turn to curds. Are you with me? And that's what's going on here. He's using this illustration to let you know that things that have been set aside and left alone and not moved and not paid attention to, they will settle on the leaves. They will form a scum. They will sour. God's trying to teach us this through this lesson. And could I say to you tonight that our churches have settled on the leaves. But we go through the motions and the formats, and we know how to line everything up and do everything. But I'm seeing it church after church. I've not been able to preach a lot of revivals. Thank God I've been able to start to do it again. Thank the Lord. But over the past year, we've been settled down at home trying to worry about this baby. But when I was in revivals and been able to go from place to place, I'm seeing churches, and please don't get this wrong, but they're developing a scum. They're beginning to sour. They're getting settled. Here's a good American word. They're getting complacent. They're happy with what they got, and they don't Lord, it's happening in our churches. I'm seeing it happening among our men.
Yeah.
Our men. I'm helping my son move into a man's house that he bought, and he's going on to be with the Lord now. He was a good old deacon. He's going on to be with the Lord. My son bought his house, and they got a picture of him when he was in the army. And he was a man. You didn't have to guess or wonder or scratch your head. You knew by looking at him he was a man. But something's even happening to our men. God is taking a candle and he's rolling through the town of Jerusalem, the hearts of Jerusalem, the temple of Jerusalem, and he's looking at the men, because the men were leaders. And he's saying, why have you let the leaves settle? You're forming a scum in your life. I can see the Lord showed me the devil's attacking our middle age, Brother Mark. Our middle age in our church. That's what the devil's attacking right now. We don't have a lot of problems. Our church is not financially struggling. Our church is not missing the mark. We're not losing anybody. But I can see a complacency coming on them. I can see that they are happy. They are settled. If you're not careful, right in the middle of hallelujahs and glorious days and good preaching, you can even form scum in your life. When you have it the best. You got the best preachers ever been. You got the prettiest church building in town. You got the best music program. You got all the facilities that you need. But if you're not careful, I'm seeing teenagers begin to form scum. They're settled on the leaves. And God's trying to let us know we can't settle on our leaves. The scum will form. Preachers have compromised. Organizations have compromised. And I'm seeing it die. I'm seeing churches die. I'm seeing them go through the motions and they're putting on a form, but they're dying. They're dying. They've been let alone so long. They've been undisturbed by real conviction so long. By real repentance for so long. Until a scum has formed over their Christian life.
Yeah.
And men, you better turn your ear toward me.
Yes.
Because he's talking to the men.
Right.
God's lit a candle and he didn't go find the women.
Right.
He didn't go find the children of Jerusalem.
Right.
He's went to the men. He's went to the leaders. Daddy, you are responsible for how your children are raised.
Yeah.
Daddy, you're responsible for how your home is led. Yeah. Church leader, you're responsible for this place. Whatever church you not pastor, I'm responsible for that little church in Fort Wayne. God help us not to settle on the leaves, the scum, the form. I remember, this is going to be a gross illustration, but it did come to my mind. I was thirsty on the way to church. I grabbed me some tea, and I drank the tea on the way, and walking in, I was shaking people's hands, and I had my little tea in there, and I made it to the office, and I got to studying for Sunday morning, and I left that tea sitting in there.
Yeah.
Honey, by next Sunday,
yeah.
It wasn't tea anymore, it was something else.
Yeah.
It had organisms growing on top of it. And I'm kind of a hypochondriac about stuff like that. I thought it was all in the room. And I couldn't even walk in. I straight up breathed it in to get something to see. What happened, preacher? Here's the illustration. I went 7 days. I went 7 days from Sunday to Sunday. I let the leaves settle. If you're not careful, you'll go from Sunday to Sunday. And Sunday's the only day. Sunday's the only day you do anything for God. The rest of the week, you just settle down. If you're not careful, 7 days will form a scum in your life. Settling over leaves. Lord gave me this. Lord gave me this. How do I keep from settling on my leaves? How do I keep from settling on my leaves? Now listen, I don't have a pretty outline for you. Ain't nobody outlines prettier than Ken Bogarty. Y'all with me? But he's going to be really disappointed in this. I ain't have time to outline, but I want you to see it. I want you to see this. How we keep from settling on our leaves. Watch this. You got to keep the Holy Ghost moving in your life.
Amen.
You got to keep the Holy Ghost moving in your life. Why do you say that, preacher? Because the Bible said that they were not emptying their vessels. He said you got to go from vessel to vessel. You can't let the vinegar sit in one vessel too long. You got to go disturb it and pour it over in another vessel. Then it can sit a little while. And then when it goes to getting a little ugly, you got to pick it up and pour it over again. You've got to keep it moving or it'll settle a scum in your life. But if it's been a long time since you felt the Holy Ghost and a different Baptist church service, you just might be settling on the leaves. You just might be settling on the leaves. And a scum will form in your life. Jeremiah said the reason Moab's leaves are settling is they don't empty themselves from vessel to vessel. They don't have time to empty their vessel. Man, I'm seeing that. I've got one man right now in my mind. He kind of looks like you, brother. Kind of looks like you. He does. Good old boy. My boy plays ball with his boy. And he's there every single game. But he don't miss for nothing. He'll shut life down to be at that ball game. He'll miss vacations to be at that ball game. He'll miss the heart surgery to be at that ball game. He'll miss his mama's funeral to be at that ball game. Anytime you talk to him about coming to church, at certain occasions, revival, Bible study, Wednesday night. Well, I had to work till nearly dark, and man, I just had to work on that. I had to get some money going. I gotta work.
Yeah.
You let him do something he wants to do. People do not have time for God. They've got time for everybody else and everything else, but they don't have time for God. If God's the reason they're breathing, God's the reason they're alive, God's the reason they have their health, God's the reason their baby's talking and walking, God's the reason they have ministry, and they shut God down because they don't have time for Him. Time for everything else. I'm noticing not time for God. What's wrong, preacher? Settling on your leaves.
Yeah.
A scum is forming. You got to keep the Spirit running.
Yeah.
You got to keep the Spirit moving. You got to keep the Spirit flowing.
Yeah. Right.
And if you don't, God has a way of emptying you if He has to.
Right.
If you form in a scum, God has a way, if He has to empty you without your permission. I'm seeing this happen. Sickness will empty you. Financial withholding will empty you. Death will empty you. One single phone call. One little phone call. Empty your whole life. Just one. Just one. You know, you hate to get them old midnight calls past midnight. I'll never forget on Christmas Day. Oh, Barbara Dalton called me. Her husband, I just baptized him. He got saved from the pastor previous to me, and he'd never been baptized. And I asked her why, and he said, all of his toes, except for his big toes, had been empty. And he said he won't get baptized because he don't want nobody to see his toes. I said, well, honey, put some skin socks on him.
Yeah.
I'll dunk him with socks on him.
Yeah.
And old Charles called. Got in that pool. 70-something years old, and I baptized him. He had a bad heart. He was only running on about 14%, and I got to watch him get baptized. I got to do it myself. But I'll never forget on that December Christmas day. for calling me. Now, a lot of things bad happened at Christmas around our house. That's when Marley had her attack and we about lost her. But it was a Christmas day, Christmas evening. That woman called me and listened to the word. She said, "Brother Carl, I think Charles is dead. I think Charles is dead." I said, "Barbara, I'm on the way." By the time I got there, he was already gone. They was working with him. And I remember that ambulance driver putting him in the ambulance, and he said, "Pastor,
it ain't good." He closed the door.
I knew Charles was dead then. Yeah. It's what Barbara said. She said, "I bought him a pair of overalls and he opened them just a little while ago. He loves them old Bill overalls, and I got him them overalls." And she's just crying. And then at his funeral, we buried him in them brand new pair of overalls that he opened just a few days ago on Christmas. One phone call. Change your life. One phone call. One phone call changed your life. God has a way of emptying those that belong to Him.
Amen.
I want the leaves to settle. Blood results. Boy, you get blood results, that's good. How about waiting on blood results? I think that's worse.
Yeah.
They don't want to draw your blood on Friday and tell you what's happening on Monday. Car wrecks. Disaster. Sin. Just one thing will empty you. God has a way when the scum begins to settle in your life and you're not willing to flow from vessel to vessel and let the Holy Ghost move in your life. He has a way of emptying you. He has to. God empties. You've got to keep the Holy Ghost moving in your life. Or you'll become spiritual scum. I wrote this down, but I ain't going to say it. Are you a scumbag? I don't know. I don't know why I wrote it. Let's talk about it. You a scumbag?
Yeah.
Spiritually becoming. Are you involved? I have a problem with this. 90% of the people do, 10% of the people do 90% of the work in my church.
Right. Yes,
it's always that same group.
Yeah.
About 10, 15 people does all the work, and everybody else just seems to go free.
Right.
They're not tied down, they don't have to worry about anything. Right. Come what may, in and out, give your tithes, leave and go. Does that bother you if you don't do anything in church?
Right.
Brother Ken ought to have to turn you down.
Right.
A project takes place. Y'all get just chomping at the bits. Let me do it. Let me hold that.
Yeah.
Let me go get some water. Can I go down and get some bread while I'm working? Can I do this? Can I do that? I'm having a problem at my own church because I got about 10% of the church that does most of the work.
Yes.
God help us.
Yes.
Most of our churches are just enjoying. They're not really working. They're just enjoying, taking advantage of the situation. And God wants to keep us busy at the church house. And money isn't just here. Work begins when you leave here. I don't want scum forming in my life. Because we're living in a generation where too many of our sermons, too many of our sermons have become bedtime stories. And we're saying it's from God. The Holy Ghost is everywhere.
Yeah.
And people supposedly being saved, but yet nobody's getting any help and nobody laughs. Have you noticed how nobody laughs? Well, we have.
Well, I didn't get it.
Yes. Go ahead.
We had 50 saved last week, and that might be good. And I'm glad if they got saved. But yeah. Then the next year, those 50 you can't find. What happened, Brother Paul? They must have got discouraged. No, don't kid yourself. They never got born again. That don't hurt your feelings, does it? They didn't get born again, because the man that gets born again, he'll have something in his heart that'll want to do the work of God. He'll want to work for the Lord. I want scum forming my life. You see, I told you this was going to be a bad message. Lord, why didn't you let me preach on trust? It was much sweeter than this. But the Lord said, get in there and just talk. moving in your life.
Yeah.
Vessel. Vessel. You got to keep it moving. Don't keep it churned. Don't keep it going. Don't keep it running. That scum form meant for nothing but the dunghill forms.
Yeah.
Watch this. Not a good outline. This is how the Lord came to you. You got to give God all the glory and not make Sunday the only day you do it. You've got to give God all the glory and not make Sunday the only day you do it. He said in verse number 11 of chapter 48, He said, boys, I've never let you go into captivity. Not one time I let you go into captivity, Moab. Not one time have I let you lose your taste. You've always had your taste. Not one time did I ever let you lose your scent. You always had a savoriness about you. You always had a sweetness about you. They had it so good and for so long and prospered so much and had been given so much that they didn't praise His holy name. I said, I didn't let you go. Brother, who was it said anybody in here went hungry?
No.
Was it you singing when it happened?
Nobody.
Nobody. And that's what God's saying to them. I've never let you lose your taste. I've never let you lose your sweetness. You've always had it. I've never let you win into captivity. You always had it good. I treated you like a little baby. Yeah. I loved on you when nobody else would. Yeah. Now look what you've become.
Yeah.
We're coming on Sundays and we're ready to blow our blessed assurance out, aren't we?
Yeah.
Our sweet by and by, we're ready for church on Sunday.
Great.
Then our life during the week, what does it become? You'll be like a little jar of tea in there.
Yes.
Come on Sunday, that sure was good, but by next Sunday, start pouring some scum on Sunday. Because you ain't done nothing on Monday, Tuesday, Barely getting them to come to revival, brother. Again, I'm facing that. I was in revival with my old daddy last week. My son preached Wednesday night, I preached Thursday night, no big girl came in on Friday. He said, now, son, you know Daddy's struggling. I won't be able to preach about 20 minutes if we was there an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That pastor that I set aside last week on Thursday night that I preached, he leaned over to me on the front bench. He said, I keep you. If my people, there's 47 of my people there, you took 47 people out, I bet he wouldn't have had 25 to 30 people there. And he's got a church that's just beautiful. Tornado tore it down. Tornado come through and leveled it. And then church paid to rebuild it. And it's just immaculate. And 30 people sitting in a place that's sitting about 400. And he said, I can't get him to come. I can't get him to do nothing. And I'd say, where's so-and-so that plays their guitar up there? Oh, they had a family deal.
Yeah.
This one had to go with hopscotch. Yeah. This one had to click on their toes. And this one had to do
that.
Nobody's got time for God. You let Sunday roll around, they'll have big and spiritual on you. Like they've been with God all week long. Come in with their hallelujah clothes off and ready to go to meet. And the preacher's been fighting the devil all week. Come in with that scum on them. We want you to fill them up. We would fill you up, but we can't get past the scum. Let the leaves settle. Oh God, let the leaves settle. I'll say this and I'll be done. Gotta keep my leaves settling. Gotta keep the Holy Ghost moving. Can't stop. Well, don't feel like praying, we'll pray anyway. I don't feel like coming, come anyway. Unless you got the flu, stay home. On the stomach, right?
Yeah.
Well, I got a headache. Well, take an ibuprofen. Come on.
Yeah.
That's what you do if it's Monday morning work time.
Yeah.
I got to quit doing that. This is not my church. I'm feeling guilty.
Perfect.
It's 100. this yet. It's coming Sunday night, in my opinion. There's 156 opportunities at the Pine Ridge Baptist Church where I pastor. You too. There's 156 opportunities at my church. I don't know what everybody else does. But at my church, there's 156 opportunities in 1 year to get the gospel. We do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, tradition. That's bad. People do it different. I don't have a problem. That's just what we do. And they'd probably run me off if I change it. There you go. That's honest. There you go. 3 times a week, you get the gospel in my church. That's 156 days in a year, 365 days in a year. Now, if you only do just a few of those, you're going to start to dwindle. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I've kind of done that on a percentage. That's 40% of those 365 days that I get the gospel. 40%. And I got people that just barely drag. I got people show up once a month. I'm glad they're tithing.
Yeah.
But they're spiritually dead.
Yeah.
They're going down. They're going down.
Yeah.
Don't care about the church.
What?
They just want to show up. Make sure the family's got somewhere to be. Make sure the kids get at least one sermon in.
Right.
And then you call for revival. Too much.
Right.
I don't remember a whole lot of it when I was a boy. Well, I can remember some.
Yeah.
I was picking bubblegum off the bottom of the benches.
Yes.
ABC gum, hard to chew.
Yeah.
I pick it all, buddy. I put it in my mouth. I get a wad that big. Mama said, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "No, no, no." Daddy up there preaching.
Yeah.
Mama singing.
Yeah.
Tape recording. I still got some of them old tapes.
Yeah.
They couldn't carry two in the bucket. We'd make fun of them today. But boy, they had the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And sing off key and miss their words. I've heard my daddy have Jonah in the lion's den.
Yeah.
But they didn't care.
Yeah.
They said, "Hallelujah! church.
Yeah.
Well, I would be there all evening.
Right.
We when I would pray, nobody ever preached, when I would just pray and pray and pray. Yeah.
I saw a 76-year-old grandma. I sing it. Matthew Pauley, I sing it. It's a church over there near the Cartersville for the set of cows. Calcite. Right across from Calcite. Little white church. Sammy Hall was pastor.
Right.
Sammy said, with the Lord. I was up there singing. Here comes this woman. I mean, it's just slow motion. I thought somebody's got to help her. I think I went through that song at least once and started into the next one before she ever got to the altar. But they knew it.
Yeah.
They started grabbing chairs. And they went and set it right in front of the altar. Granny had decided she wanted to come pray.
Yes, sir.
It took her a long time to get there. She made it.
Listen.
Now I'm standing here now, and Granny's right here. And I'm singing. And what she said, I had quit. I stopped. I just stopped singing. She just convicted me. What'd she say, preacher? It wasn't what she said. I don't think she said a word. But to the end, here's what she does. Oh, oh.
Minister, you want to stay out on God? He'll let you, and you'll get to crawl in the floor. church life, Mike.
Yes,
I really do. I believe second chances just sure don't stand here.
Oh, yes.
If it wasn't for second chances, I couldn't be here.
Yeah.
I believe in second chances. I even might go as far as say as I believe in thirds.
Yeah.
But I have seen men kind of crawl back to the pulpit without repenting.
Yeah.
I got one man right now. Maybe it's the man. Last we heard from him. I want to say this, Brother Keith. I mean, that's good. Me and Angie's talking about this just the other day. I was so mad at that preacher. Sent for his letter. Now, bear with me, man. You don't know the whole story, and I'm sitting here thinking of all of it. Now, it's hard to explain. Last we heard, that man was doing some things he shouldn't have done. He come to me. He told me what he'd done. I asked him to resign his positions. He did gracefully. Went down the road, and within a month.
Yeah.
And this man sent for his letter.
Yeah.
And I had to pick up the phone very gracefully. I wasn't mean about it, but I said to him, "You don't know what we're doing." And for me to bring this man to our church, last thing they know, he's just living in sin.
Yeah.
You know, I told my wife, it's been several years, man. You know what I told my wife? I said, if he had any God about him, he'd be coming back to that little church.
Yeah.
He'd be in a position.
Yeah.
Say, look, I done wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hope this church forgive me.
Because
I want to go home with God.
Yeah.
That's the right thing to do. People will go on, and I, what was it, honey? His little granddaughter, little Isaiah said, well, Daddy preached Sunday. What did he say? I mean, it wasn't long after all this happened. They let him preach, join the church and let him preach. Get on up there, buddy. Get on up there.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
And you know how they'll do. They'll add him on and pretend as if things are going good, you know. Let him on the Bible, say it happened.
Praise the Lord.